tonight. Sharon Fennell is our host. As always, we welcome your contributions. Please give us a call at 826-4805 if you're out of the area. Toll free at 800-640-5911. Or you can join the conversation by text message at 492-KHSU.
Good evening and a good new year to you as well. On last month's On the Line, I spoke with Dr. Melinda Myers, and we were talking about sexual harassment as, you know, the many reports of abuse by the powerful were becoming known. And as I continued to talk with friends about all of this, the question of, well, how do we go about making connections with someone we're attracted to, or what is and isn't okay? And do women have a part to play in ensuring their own well-being, or are we forever at the mercy of men who behave badly or worse? This program may not be suitable for young ears, so parental discretion is suggested. My co-host this evening is Troy Williams. He is a student at Humboldt State, and some of you may know Troy is my dear friend and mentor. I have a few gleaned things from the New York Times, and I will read them to you with the hope that we can have your thoughts and comments on this broad topic. We have two lines available, and we hope that you keep them full. 826-4805 and...
or 1-800-640-5911.
All right, so I want to say thank you to Troy, sitting right beside me, for co-hosting with me this evening.
Thanks for having me here, Sharon Fennell.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and Troy brings some expertise to the table because he was an outstanding student in both women's studies and gender studies.
Yeah, critical race and gender studies.
Right.
And I don't know if I'm an expert, though. But I do have my opinions.
All right, good. And that's what I'm looking for here tonight, your opinions. And what I thought I would do to get this conversation going is just read a thing or two, and we'll do this throughout the hour. But I really want to hear from you guys. So I started, thanks to Michael Fennell, he reads the New York Times a lot, and he often points things out to me. And in this case, there were some letters to the editor, and they really intrigued me. So, and they come from different perspectives. So I'm going to start with this one, and then hopefully you out there will call in with what you think about what I've just read. And Troy, you know, co-host, you can just jump in anytime you want. So this is a letter to the editor from December 24th. And this woman is responding to another writer who wrote, quote, "When yes is easier than no." And the writer who wrote that was Jessica Bennett, and she wrote that in the Sunday Review. So this letter to the editor writer says, wait a minute. First, it's no means no. Then it's yes means yes. Now, is the author suggesting that even affirmative consent is insufficient, that sometimes yes means no? Ms. Bennett, the original writer, is at least speaking to the complexity of human mating dances. She writes, sometimes no means yes because you actually do want to do it, but you know you're not supposed to, lest you be labeled a slut. And if you're a man, that no often means just try harder, because you know persuasion is part of the game. Given this reality, how does society make rules to distinguish between normal sexual interactions, often filled with head fakes and innuendo, and situations where the woman is legitimately forced into sex? Curiously, the feminist answer prefers to infantilize women rather than empower them. On some campuses, that inability to consent applies even if someone has had just a sip or two, Ms. Bennett writes. Can we be serious? The law should not be used to criminalize men for what both sexes acknowledge is normal behavior, saying no and then ultimately relenting. There may be no hard and fast rules that can distinguish consensual sex from rape, especially in college, where exploration is normal. What we need are guidelines. Some would be conclusive, like the use of date rape, drugs, or violence. But others should use common sense, like a relationship or subsequent civil interaction suggesting consent. That was written by Alan Backman in New York. So a guy wrote that. So let me ask you out there that were just listening to what I read. What are your thoughts and feelings about this? You know, does no mean no? Does yes mean yes? Is there stuff all in between there? And if so, can we sort it out? And especially like on a campus. So, Troy, you're a student.
Yes, I am.
And you're on this campus.
Yes.
And you've taken a couple of classes like
yes.
this. And, you know, I'm going to assume you've had sex, so...
A couple times.
Okay. So does no mean no for you?
Definitely no means no for me. However, there are times when, as a guy, you know, the signals are not clear, you know. And, you know... Me personally, I err more towards, you know, staying back rather than, you know, going forward and being, you know, more persistent, you know, trying to get to know a young lady, you know.
So but let's talk about in an intimate, maybe you haven't had the experience of being in an intimate situation, in this case with a woman, mm-hmm. and she says... flat out no, and you take, I'm going to assume, because I know you some, that you would take that no for an answer.
Oh, yeah, I'll just, okay, it's not the time. She's not feeling it, so,
right.
you know,
I
back away.
And do you agree with Alan, who says, you know, maybe no, but, you know, well, maybe all right, you know, and how do you know? Because
if a young lady tells you no, I mean, it's no, you just back up. You know, and you know, it's, and if it's someone that you've had an intimate relationship with before,
mm-hmm.
you know, as opposed to someone you're just meeting, you know, it's okay. You can be like, okay, are you sure? You know, but if she's persistent, then you back up,
right?
You know, but if it's someone that you're just meeting, and she says no, that's a definite no, no, no.
Right, right. Now, if you mix that with some alcohol,
oh, alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, yeah, let's say alcohol here, because to me I see that as a big problem. I've gotten, well, I was going to read this other one, okay. Let's see if this one doesn't generate some phone conversation because I think I agree with this and I might catch some heat for it. But so this is a letter to the editor. Must the Times publish this sort of victimized feminism? Required reading for everyone who wants to partake in this conversation should be Jessica Crispin's book, Why I Am Not a Feminist, a feminist manifesto which emphasizes the importance of women taking control of their actions, bodies, and decisions, and proclaims that a radical change in one's own life that departs from the patriarchal mode is necessary. Feminism is not about being a passive bystander, going along with men's desires and then saying, how dare you? How about stop having meaningless sex and learn about your own body and desires? This whole idea of it was easier to have sex than to say no makes me sick, says the writer. I am a 33-year-old woman, and I can tell you this is not all women's experience. This is the experience of certain women who need to work on their self-esteem and sexuality. This message that women are like children, incapable of knowing their own desires and at the mercy of men's sexual wants, is completely backward and untrue for some of us. So I told this to my dear friend Geraldine, you know, this point of view. And she immediately said, which I also know to be true, is that, you know, don't blame the victim. A victim blaming, you know, that it's the woman's fault because she was dressed a certain way or whatever. And of course I know that and understand that. But I hold a strong belief, as this young woman does, and I'm way older than she, that if you're a person, I don't care what your gender, doesn't matter, and you have had way too much to drink, you, that person, I feel, have put yourself in a much more vulnerable position than you had would have been if you had maybe just a normal social drink and were not impaired. I think, you know, women use birth control to prevent unintended pregnancy. Women will ask a man to wear a condom so as to protect themselves from sexually transmitted diseases. You know, we do a lot of things maybe we don't even think about to protect ourselves in the first place from any unwanted intrusion. So if you're out there listening, do you agree or disagree? My thesis is, as women, we have control and some power to affect what happens to us by and large. It's not hard and fast, but that is my point of view. How do you see it?
Well, I see it like this. Personally, me, I may take a sip of wine every now and then, but I'm not really into getting intoxicated, and I definitely don't want to be drunk. And as a guy, I mean, I know that there's many ways that alcohol could lead to too much being said, not enough being said, too many emotions getting involved. And just alcohol is good to a certain point. And I think that alcohol a lot of times facilitates a party or a situation or a group turning negative, you know. Mm. And me, I would tell someone, male or female, you know, be careful in terms of, you know, what you do drinking, because, you know, you're expecting everyone to be playing with a rule book where they're moral, they have a compassion, and they're nice people. And a lot of times you're not around, especially if you're at a party, you know, you're not around a lot of people that's going to be nice or compassionate or care about you. They're going to see you drunk and they're going to take advantage of you. It's not right. You know, it shouldn't happen.
Right.
But the reality is that it does happen.
Yeah.
So for me as a man, and if I had a daughter, I would let her know, look, no one has a right to put their hands on you or anything. But you also have to think in terms of the way you put yourself out there and the situations you put yourself in terms of drinking, especially, you know, because you're not to your 100% vigilance when you're drunk like that.
Without a doubt. And I'm old enough to know and experienced enough to know that the onus really truly is on the perpetrator, whoever that is.
Definitely.
You know, and it could, and I'm talking about any sexual combination that you enjoy, you know, man on man, woman on woman, everything in between, all of the above. The person who does the unwanted gesture, and we'll just use that word, really is the responsible person in the first place. But I still say, and so far nobody's disagreed with me, otherwise the phones would be lit up at 826-4805 or
1-800-640-5911.
Right. So everybody must agree with me on this, and maybe we should go on.
Maybe they have their thoughts, but they're not quite sure of how to
express,
put it out there.
Yeah. So all we ask is that you don't use any cuss words, because it's earlier than 10 o'clock. But surely somebody out there, and I'd love to hear from a male point of view, you know, do you agree with me? And I guess here, Troy, because we're on the same page about this, suggesting that people, not just women, because this involves all of us, that the more we give up control of ourselves vis-a-vis getting drunk or wasted or high on whatever the drug is of your choice, so that you are no longer in complete and full control, as you know, we're never in complete or full control, but you have a better shot at getting out of a situation that you don't want to be in if you have all your faculties about you than if you're messed up. Okay. You good?
Well, I know growing up back in L.A., and there have been times when certain, we call them homegirls back then, you know, they were friends, you know, but they would have quite a bit to drink, and a lot of times it would lead to conversations where there was disagreements. And after another cup, the disagreement became an argument. Mm. After another cup, there were swinging, you know?
Oh.
So it's like, you know, when you get out there and you're exposing yourself like that, I mean, you know, it's like you got to be, you know, cautious of the situation you're in, the situation you're putting yourself in. And a lot of times when you're inebriated like that, you don't even know what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody should ever put themselves in that position, right? You know? That's no excuse for anybody to take advantage of you. But right. The reality is there are people out there that will, you know?
Yeah. Yep. All right, 826-4805. Here's another letter to the editor. And just call in anytime you want, because we'll stop whatever we're talking about to hear what you have to say, because I really want to hear from you out there, the listener. You know, this is an important topic that we should be talking about to our sons, to our daughters,
to our
nephews,
leaders.
To our leaders. Hello.
Yeah.
It's vital. So here's a little one. It's, again, a letter to the editor of the New York Times. This writer says, substitute hot fudge sundae for sex in this article. You know you should resist, but when the dessert menu arrives, you say yes. Then you regret the momentary pleasure. Jessica Bennett refers to, quote, our idea of what we want, of our own desire. Where is the love in all her reasoning? Shouldn't there be an emotional component to intimacy? Otherwise, there's abundant reason to see sex as hollow, unless some sense of closeness and, yes, even love exists. A hot fudge sundae will do as well. Disregard the calories if you must. This person who wrote this is a psychiatrist. There's no name, but she's a psychiatrist. So she's talking about love and having some sort of emotional connection to the person that you're having sex with.
Yeah. How about is there a thing of having sex for just the physiological benefits?
Yeah, now we've talked about
reduced blood pressure.
Yes.
Stress is alleviated.
Yes.
Does it always have to mean that I am so stoned in love with this person?
Yeah, I know that song. Yeah. No, definitely. And you know, I was raised, I was coming up in my teenage years in the 60s. And it was free love, mm-hmm. and all of that stuff, and I was on board with that. But as I've grown older and seen and understood, it's like now I feel like the opposite, and it looks like we have a caller from Bayside. Go Bayside. Some weird... Okay.
There's a lot of noise, but I can't hear anyone.
Hello?
Oh, there you go.
Hi. Yeah, I was just listening and appreciating your topic of conversation. And when you mentioned guys thinking a lot about how they should approach women.
Yeah.
And from a female perspective, I think that a lot of guys just need to, like, relax and stop putting a lot of pressure on themselves because we're human, and a lot of us like, you know, just normal conversations. So, like, stop trying to put, like, so much into, you know, those blunt liners and dictating how a female will react, you know, just, like, relax and be yourself. Either you both are, like, trying to have a good time and just maybe meet people, maybe you're open, maybe you're not, but either way, I think, you know, everybody enjoys good conversation and, you know, so, like, just relaxing and not putting the pressure, you know, on yourself as a guy, I think will help, you know, the whole night, however you're anticipating or hoping it will be. You know, like, the one-liners, like, they're just more funny or uncomfortable. I've almost never, like, experienced, like, a one-liner that was just like, wow, and it made the night magical. So just don't even worry about that.
So you're saying that guys still do the one-liners?
Yeah, I can see, like, guys dance around from across the room, and they're, like, nervous, and they try to, like, you know, they're thinking of, like, trying to say something, and, you know, I can see them trying so hard. They want to impress, and they don't want to offend. No, but, you know.
Can you give me an example of a one-liner? I'm getting a lot of feedback, Michael. Yeah, okay.
One guy said to me, he's like, oh, I got something in my eyes. Oh, it's you.
And, oh.
I
didn't want
to laugh. I haven't heard that one yet.
Feeling, but, you know, it's like, well, is that like, that's like a one-liner because he's thinking of, like, hooking up with me or what? Or he was just trying to pay me a compliment. But either way, compliments are great, you know. There's a big difference between being inappropriate and saying something sincere, and I think it's up to the individual. Like, okay, you think this woman is attractive? They, oh, you know, I think you're really beautiful. That's certainly not anywhere along the lines of sexual harassment, you know. Like, but profanity and, you know, being pushy, that's different, you know. So.
Wow. Okay, this is Michael.
So flirting can be okay at sometimes.
Well, wait a minute. First of all, I got reverb, total reverb. All right. Okay. Thank you for the call. I still have reverb. Reverb.
So
it's gone. Thank you.
To flirt or not to flirt?
Well, here's the thing. Troy and I have had many a conversation about telling a woman, oh, you look so beautiful, or you're beautiful, but you don't know the woman. And we talked about this with Dr. Myers, you know, and sometimes you might be intruding on a woman or a person's, like, private moment. You know, you don't know what's just happened. And you're thinking, oh, I'm just going to give her this nice compliment, and it's not meant to be. So this young lady that we just spoke with that just called in, she's okay with that. So that's okay.
Well, she's okay with a genuine hello, how are you doing?
No, that you look nice or something like that. And, you know, I've told you in my past, growing up in the South Bronx, construction guys or just regular guys, almost on a daily basis would have something to say to little me as I was going about my day. And honestly and truly, it depended on what they said as to what reaction they would get from me. So if it was a genuine, hey, you look really good today, I'd smile, or I might even say thank you. But if they did something derogatory like, hey, baby, you know, and blah, 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 and stuff like that, they got the biggest MF-er, can't say it on the radio, out of my mouth. You know, because I didn't like that. That felt very degrading. But I'm good with a genuine compliment. So, okay, now Troy, you can shift your thinking about that a little bit. And as to the lines, we used to say back in the day when a guy was doing that, they were giving you a rap. They rapped to you. And so there were guys that had all kinds of like one-liners. I can't conjure them up anymore. It's been too long. But, well, at least they're still around, these one-liners.
Well, for a guy, I mean, it is a big step in terms of, you know, putting yourself out there when you approach a young lady and you don't know her, but you think she's attractive. You don't really know what to say. You know, you don't want to say something that can be offensive. You don't want to sound corny, But you want to let this person know, like, hey, I see you. I think you're attractive. I like to get to know you.
See, but for me, if I would – now, I've been married a long, long time. So if my husband ever said this to me, I'd be happy. But but if I was out there and a guy said, you know, hey, and I'm attracted to you, I'd back off. And when we started talking about this, Troy and I and the circle that I'm around, I said, well, whatever happened to the old school style where you see someone you're attracted to? Because attraction is still with us, and yes, thank goddess for that, and may it always be. But you see someone you're attracted to, maybe for many reasons, not just physicality, but all of it. So how do you go? What's the best way to go about this? And I said, and you know, we were talking about this. I said, how about, hey, are you busy tomorrow afternoon? No, I'm not. Why? Well, can we go have coffee? And yeah, sure. And then you go have coffee with that person, and you talk a little bit, because maybe you'll find out this woman that you thought was so beautiful, or this other person that you thought was so beautiful, actually is stupid and dumb as a doorknob, and you really don't want to spend time with that person. I don't know.
Or it may be the opposite.
826-4805. What are you thinking
or
about this?
Or 1-800-640-5911.
Hey, Michael, you're hearing all of this, right?
Yes.
You got an opinion so far?
I do. I kind of lost track of where we're talking about just at the moment, just because I was dealing with some callers, but... Can you refresh me a little bit?
We were just talking about, you know, appropriate, you know, like, is it okay to tell a woman that you're just meeting, you know, oh, I think you're attractive, or, you know, you look nice today, or anything like that. And I need your perspective, because you're a young man.
Well, that's difficult, actually. In the last episode of this about this topic, I learned that might not always be welcome.
Right.
But if it's somebody that I knew well, I would feel more comfortable doing it. But at the same time, I am just a little bit reserved in general. So I'm not really the kind of guy that's that goes around doing that to random people per se. But maybe if it was somebody that I really knew and there was some sort of spark or something like that, some sort of mutual feeling that where I could tell maybe they will be receptive to that sort of thing, that I might actually give them a compliment about, like, their appearance or something mm-hmm. like that. And actually, I had a caller that kept getting dropped for some reason. Devin in Eureka, if you're still listening, he wanted to bring the perspective to light that there is nothing wrong with men wanting to talk to women. Men are biologically wired to do that. And so he wanted to, so he was saying that it's in reason for men to go up and talk to women flirtatiously, and just like it should be for women to go up to men and talk to them.
Yeah. Yep. And you know, in the bird world, BIRD world,
yes,
you see the male birds and the female birds, and the female birds are always the prettiest ones.
And they strut
their feathers, and they do all kinds of things to get the male to look. So biologically speaking, that's why we're all here, is because of attraction and mating and all of that. It gets so complicated.
You know,
though,
I thought that the birds, it was the males that were always a little bit more flashy and flamboyant. I could be wrong.
Oh, maybe I mixed that up.
However,
if there's an ornithologist listening,
I'm in the line of thinking that, you know, in this day and time, if a young lady finds a guy attractive, or anybody, that the onus shouldn't be on the guy to, you know, go out there and, you know, put his head on the chopping block, you know?
Right.
Because that's how it feels sometimes.
It should be a two-way street. Now, we have somebody calling, but I don't see Michael, so maybe the call just dropped. But
it
no,
should
you're
be
right.
It should be a two-way street.
I agree.
Just like, you know, in terms of pleasure and sex and whatnot, I mean, you know, I'm in the line of thinking that if it's not a two-way thing, it's, you know, right, it's not a pleasurable thing. Right, you know?
Exactly. And I do agree with Devin and Eureka that women should be able to approach a man, but also with, in a respectful way, yes. You know, to walk up to a guy and say, man, you the finest thing since sliced bread, that's kind of inappropriate.
I don't think so.
No?
But, well, I would think so, but, you know.
If you don't know him?
Yeah, most guys wouldn't be offended, though.
All right. See, so. That's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing. Oh, let's see. We got
Dave and Soham.
Okay. Go on, Dave.
Thank you. At the risk of oversimplifying the matter, my perspective is I believe it's really all about respect and honesty. You know? And the creativity of the individual to express themselves in a way that if they're respectful and honest, that's clear to the person they're expressing themselves to, you know? And the North Coast Journal, a few months ago, they had an interesting thing where they talked about unpopular opinions. You know, they had a whole issue on it or something. And, you know, I've got some what are probably unpopular opinions in terms of political correctness. And, you know, some guys are more on the risk-taking end. And we know that risks have rewards and risks have consequences. Mm-hmm. And if that's the way a man or a person is more inclined, then they get what they get. Mm-hmm. You know, for myself, I'm respectful, I'm courteous, and I'm honest. And if that offends somebody, that's their problem, not mine. You know, or that might be too harsh of a way to put it. But that's really their thing, you know, because I know that I'm coming across with that respect and with that honesty, and, you know, the other person can say, thank you, I'm not interested, or they can react otherwise.
Well, when you say that you're honest and respectful, and I believe you, and a woman does not welcome your attention, let's just say, that's okay, right? You would just like, well, you know, have a nice evening, or it was nice chatting with you, and go on your way, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not into pushing myself on somebody unrequited.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask how old you are?
I just turned 60.
Oh, all right. See, okay. So so I'm wondering now if us...
For most of my adult life.
Say again, you've been... Yeah, I'm sure that that's true. I didn't think you just got this way. But, I think a whole lot differently about these matters than I did when I was a young woman. And is it just because of experience, or was I misguided back then when I wasn't even thinking about these things, just sort of doing it because it was the 60s and that's what everybody or a lot of people were doing? So I don't know. Do you currently date?
Occasionally.
And so where do you meet people?
Various places, hopefully face-to-face.
Mm-hmm. So like where? Because I have a lot of single women friends. I'm not trying to fix you up, but I'm just curious, where do you go to socialize and meet people?
If that's your question.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I said I don't go on dating sites, okay. If that's your question.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Not all that interested in discussing my personal strategies for how I find companionship, aside from, you know, the topic at hand. But what I'm getting at is, you know, there's an underlying current that I don't think is all that difficult for most people to exude,
mm-hmm.
You know, and if you approach someone respectfully, I would hope that they would, and you do it with any, you know, modicum of competence, then I would hope, if not expect, for that to be at the very least recognized and acknowledged and responded to in kind, which is actually not always been my experience.
Oh.
So respect, honesty, and confidence.
Yeah. Well, I like what you've just said, and I, you know, It's a good strategy. It's a healthy strategy. It's an honest strategy, and that carries a lot of weight in for a lot of people that I know anyway. That just being honest, being respectful, being polite. And if you bat zero, oh well, right?
Yeah, and if you bat zero, you have to be able to just, you know, don't take it personal.
Mm.
You know, mm-hmm. and continue to be respectful.
Yeah. Caller, are you still there? No. Okay. Well, anyway, thanks for the call. There seems to be a technical glitch with us, with the phones and the calls coming in. So that's why I keep saying I'm having feedback. And when you have feedback and you have headphones on, it like messes with your brain. So please bear with us while we see if we can figure this out. But don't let that stop you from calling us at 826-4805
or 1-800-640-5911.
And I'm Sharon Fennell, and this is Thursday Night Talk on the Line, I call it. And my co-host is Troy Williams. He's a student here at Humboldt, and he has credentials both for being a male and also for being a student here at Humboldt and taking some of these classes that I'm so behind the times. Half the time, I don't know what people are talking about anymore.
Things are changing.
Yeah. Michael.
Yes.
Earlier, we were talking about the use of alcohol and my contention that if you allow yourself, male or female, don't matter, to get so inebriated that you no longer are in control of your own situation, that I think that's counterproductive and something to be considered. How do you feel about the use of alcohol in this particular discussion?
I think it is sort of, if we're talking, let's just say we're talking about a man and a woman in this scenario. This is sort of the typical scenario you hear about. If a woman is too drunk, you shouldn't try to do anything. I think it's kind of up to, in that scenario, the man to recognize when somebody is over the line. I shouldn't take you to bed or even really try to do anything because you may not remember in the morning, or it's just too blurred of a line to be clear consent. Mm-hmm. And actually, Check It on HSU's campus has a pretty clear criteria for this sort of thing. It's consent. I remember they actually came on Thursday Night Talk and said this. And the consent is a sober and enthusiastic yes. So I kind of took that in. But I think you have to recognize when somebody's too drunk to make rational decisions or even being incapable of making a decision.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. And it's good to know that Humboldt has that policy. But what happens if, and either of you can answer because, you know, you're here. What happens if a woman says yes at first? She's not particularly impaired one way or the other, but she says yes at first, and then comes this moment where she suddenly freezes and decides, no, I really don't want to do this. What would you do in that situation?
Well, I think in that case you have to stop, because if somebody's somebody's uncomfortable with the encounter itself, it's probably not right. But we do have a call, so I'm going to take that.
Right on, thank you, Michael. Troy, your thoughts about that?
Well, once a person says no, I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's when I just backpedal and I'm like, okay, cool, find something else.
Yeah, and that no should apply, you know, not just to a sexual encounter, but to anything that, you know, one person suggests to another person. If you're not down with whatever,
we're assuming here that everyone was in the line when they passed out chivalry and respect and all that stuff.
That's a good point.
And we're talking about folks that, you know, perhaps, you know, put themselves in a situation. You have to be cognizant of what you're doing with yourself, you know. And I say it again, there's no excuse for anyone to take advantage of you. But there are people out there that will, you know. So
yeah. Yep, yep. And it's on all of us to treat each other with respect and dignity in any situation that we come upon. That's what I feel like we're lacking so much in our culture today and for a long time, and more so today than ever before. It's pretty heartbreaking. I have another letter to the editor here. This says, "Can Black Women Say Us Too?" By Shanita Hubbard. Ms. Hubbard writes poignantly about the anguish of Black women who suffer at the hands of Black men who in turn have been subjugated by others in our society. Her remarks reflect a paradox about men and power. Men are dangerous when they have too much power or too little power. With too much power, they feel entitled to have their way with women and the resources to draw women into their orbits. Men with too little power in the world feel compelled to strut their masculinity by showing women who's boss. They compensate for their shame by humiliating women. The solution? Holding powerful men tightly accountable and lifting powerless men into places of economic and social respect. Wow. What do you think of that?
I can see what she meant by that, you know, because you're in the position of power and you have this feeling of entitlement, like everything and everyone is yours, you know. So I can see what she meant by that. And also I can see what she meant with, you know, guys that are essentially powerless. They don't own anything except for their macho-ness.
Right, you know? Being male.
And that macho-ness has a tendency to go into being sexist and whatnot, you know.
Yep. Okay, let's see. Same caller from Bayside. All right, come on on. Come on back, Miss Bayside.
Hello?
Yes, you're there.
Hi. I wanted to add to this part of the conversation. There's a really good documentary called Tough Guys, and it talks all about the pressure that males feel to be dominant and more aggressive, and it does a really good job. It shares statistics and really empathizing with you know, males and the pressure, the social pressure that they feel. And I think going to the other side, I think it's important for guys to understand women and empathize with women when, you know, the statistics are, you know, that 1 in 3 women experience some type of physical abuse or sexual abuse, yeah, whether it be from intimate partner or not. And then the murder statistics are so high. You know, I've been stalked before and had really bad experiences, and it's definitely given me some PTSD. And so, like, and that's so, so common. So, like, I guess I would like to ask guys just to have a little bit of empathy on that, on why we would be more standoffish, or you can come off as, you know, like a BITCH or whatever, and it's because we have gone through these, you know, really horrific sometimes experiences, you know, with sexual violence or rape or abuse.
Yeah.
And just that's being supportive and not demeaning the female further. Oh, she's broken, you know, she's been used or whatever, the kind of a thing, because she's already struggling, you know, with healing from those things. So it's like filling up, you know, her confidence and her self-esteem, you know, by being respectful and giving her her power, reminding her of her power and her right to know, I think, is one of the most important things. So I just wanted to add that.
Wow.
You.
Man, you've really, oopsie. Did we lose her? Okay. But I know she's listening. Miss Bayside, you've really added a lot to this conversation, and I'm really appreciative of your thoughts and input into this important conversation, and I just want to appreciate that. Michael, you have an off-the-air call.
Yes, we did. And this kind of goes back to earlier in the conversation, and even what our caller from Bayside was talking about earlier in the show, about a man approaching a woman flirtatiously, obviously, and this caller wondered about two people reciprocating body language, like eye contact or smiling at each other. Is it then more acceptable to go say something and even act flirtatiously, give them compliments about their appearance and so forth?
I'm not going to answer that because I've been married for too long and I don't know anymore. So I'm going to defer to my co-host, Troy, over here.
Well, I know, speaking personally, when I got here to Humboldt County, it had been a while since I've been in the dating scene. Mm-hmm. And I was in the political science class, and there was a young lady sitting next to me. And, you know, I noticed that she was sitting next to me every day, but I didn't think much about it. And there was one time when someone else sat in the seat. And she came and told the young lady, like, hey, this is my seat, you know.
Kidding.
And, you know, it was like there's no assigned seats in college, you know.
Right.
So anyway, the other young lady, she got up and then she kind of like hit me, you know, like, hey, you know, this is my seat. Why did you let her sit here? And I was like, well, I didn't know it was your seat, you know. So I was clueless, you know. Sometimes that's just what it is. We're, you know, we're kind of like clueless when.
Oh, you didn't catch it? That
I didn't catch it.
Okay.
You know, when I just thought she was being nice.
Wait, when did you catch it? How do you know? How do you know that she was
eyeing? Oh, well, she told me, when are you going to ask me for my phone number?
Oh, see, then an assertive woman. Do you have something there, Michael?
In addition to this, or my own answer?
Anything.
Well, I think it would be appropriate to at least go talk to them. I don't know still how appropriate it is to just go and start paying them compliments and stuff. But, right. You know, right.
But if she's looking at you and smiling
right,
at you.
Right, right. No, I mean, mm-hmm. There's if someone's staring right at you and smiling, then there's a good chance that right. they want to talk to you.
Is it polite to stare, though?
Stare?
Then we get into something else.
Well, maybe not full on staring, yeah. But you know,
a few glances.
Yeah, some eye contact yeah. exchange, that kind of thing. Yeah. So mm-hmm. it's definitely appropriate to go say hello, you know, get to know them a little bit, but I don't know about going right up to them and start commenting all over their appearance and mm-hmm. stuff like that. That mm-hmm. might make them a little bit uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. And the use of one-liners.
Right.
Can you tell a woman that she looks like $1 million? Is that inappropriate or appropriate?
I don't know. What do our callers think? 826-4805 or?
Or is that line 1-800-640-5911. Is that line dated? Is that appropriate?
Say the line again.
That you look like $1 million. Is that offensive?
Look like $1 million. Ladies, gentlemen, if somebody tells you look like $1 million, is that okay? It'd be okay by me.
I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, I can handle that. It seems like, you know, from what we've heard so far, and nobody seems to have disagreed.
Most men, though, I would say that most men, I don't know if I can say most men. I can say some men that I know, they have this thing of, you know, nothing ventured, nothing gained.
You know? Explain.
Well, they feel like if they don't go up and talk to a young lady, that
missed, you know, opportunity.
Exactly. Mm. You know, so with that being their kind of impetus, you know, they feel like they can go up and talk to a young lady if they find her attractive.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm. And it is so much about the attraction that us humans have, and you can't deny it. But I think it's how how it's projected to another human being, because you don't know what another human being is dealing with
exactly.
on any given day, at any given moment. They may look perfectly normal and great, and their dog just died.
One thing that the caller, the young lady,
Bayside,
mm-hmm. one thing that she was good in pointing out is that you don't know the history of that person, you know, in terms of their relationship with the
What's
opposite
happened?
Sex or just with their, you know, significant others, you know.
Yeah.
It could have been real contentious. It could have been abusive and whatnot. So, you know, you have to kind of like be respectful of that, you know.
I think that was the point that Dr. Myers last month when we were saying about, you know, unwanted compliments or whatever. You know, you're walking down the street, maybe your mind is 1,000 miles away on some god-awful event in your personal life, and all of a sudden there's a guy and he tells you, hey, you look beautiful today. He's thinking he's giving you a compliment. You're like about to, you know, cry.
Yeah.
And it's an intrusion. It can be an intrusion. So, you know, I think so much has changed since I was a young woman, and I think for the better, because we're more conscious anyway of better ways to be in order to either pursue a relationship or just have sexual contact, because, you know, that's what humans do. But all of it has to be, I think, done graciously, you know, and respectfully at all times. And I must be right because nobody's called to disagree.
1-800-640-5911.
And we got about 10 minutes left. So if you have something you want to share, maybe of a slightly different opinion, we're here for the next few minutes. Here's another one. Women sometimes consent rather than say no when they believe in their core that the no would be ignored, that the choice is yes or rape. It is an awful calculation to have to think. I have a choice here. I can submit or fight. But if I fight, I'm going to lose, and it will be worse than submitting, not to mention that no one will believe me, and it is just so much easier and safer and less immediately painful to not put up a no-holds-bar fight. This guy won't be punished either way. And so we submit, often to a man we know socially and will probably have to see again. This isn't ambivalence. It's risk analysis. Knowing that the rapist would likely be brought to justice would help us have the courage to say no and back it up with a fight. So, you know, that's something, oh, man, I understand that. And I'll bet many women or some women listening know that they've been in that situation where you just give it up because the fight would be worse. I hope nobody listening has had that experience, but unfortunately I know better statistically. That's a lousy place to be.
It's a terrible risk analysis that you got to go through there.
Yep. So let's see. In case you don't know, I'm Sharon Fennell. I'm here with Troy Williams. He's my co-host. We're talking about, I guess we're actually talking about how we as human beings get together, you know, whatever your sexual preference is, however you do the thing, that the mores seem to have shifted and changed, and we got to figure out a strategy so that we all can enjoy the human experience of sexuality, but yet not be a victim. And it looks like Michael's picking up a call. But so far, Troy, have you heard anything that you want to comment on one way or the other? Anything I've read or what you've learned in your classes? You got good grades in those classes.
Yes, I did. And I did learn a lot in the classes. But it all came down really to, you know, realizing that, you know, these two genders have contributed equally to humanity. But it's sad that usually the women's contribution, it's left out a lot. And this kind of like bleeds into, you know, relationships and whatnot, because, you know, men carry this thing like, you know, I'm the guy on top of the mountain, and you know, and you know, my gender is above the rest, you know.
Right. Like this woman was saying here, can black women say me too? Because, you know, powerful white men, they do what they do because they're powerful, but black men don't have the power, but they have this other power. And till we raise the power equity.
It's like a faux power at the expense of someone else, though,
yeah,
you know.
So well said. Well
it's really
said.
Not power at all, you know.
Well said. Mr. Michael, do we got anything there?
Yeah, we have an off-air caller, and he wanted to say that anything from a one-night stand all the way up to marriage, it's still no means no and yes means yes. Mm. And you got to work it out and figure things out. And he said that the golden rule applies. However you've been treated in the past applies to that situation. And, yeah.
Wow. Some good comments there. I don't know why people are so shy about being on the phone because, you know, you could – don't say your name or make up a name, but it's all good content.
That is something to keep in mind, though, the golden rule.
Which is?
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Yep. I agree. Let me see. I think we've covered, did I get all of these great? Okay. Yeah, this is the one I like. This one says, as a woman, I think some sexual harassment is our doing because we can't just say no to sexual harassment while continuing to loudly say yes to all the other demeaning gender inequities that led to that harassment. For instance, we dress like prostitutes and then complain when we're not taken seriously. We say we're independent, but we give up our names when we get married. We cling to the anachronistic salutation, Mrs. We claim we want equality and then fume if our boyfriends don't pay our way on dates. We teach our daughters that we hate our own faces unless they are hidden behind makeup. We totter on high heels that make us weak and vulnerable. We allow separate but unequal rules and pay in sports such as professional tennis. We attend churches that bar us from their highest posts. We continue to treat sexism as if it's a lesser crime than racism. If we don't learn to be strong and say no to all demeaning behavior, then we turn ourselves into weak prey for sexual harassers. And that one I like.
She's got some points there.
That one definitely. I like. Now, see, I thought this, I meant to start off with this one because therein, you know, I thought this would be so controversial to our listeners that, you know, you dress a certain way and then something happens to you. And it shouldn't be like that. You should be able to dress kind of however you want. But then again, I don't know. If I had a daughter and she was going out and she had less clothes than more clothes on her body, I might say, you know, you might want to something.
Especially in homeboy, you catch a cold.
Indeed, you know? Indeed.
So, yeah, definitely. But, yeah, I understand what the writer of that was trying to get across because, you know, it's all about, you know, being consistent with your actions and your words, letting them match up with each other,
yeah.
You know.
I agree. And, that's good.
You know, but, you know, it all comes down to, you know, no means no, and there's no excuse that's valid enough to let someone do something to you that you didn't want done to
right.
you, you know.
Right. And I do, you know, I mean, I struggle with how a woman dresses. You know, like, I think some women could be more discreet, you know, even women that I know. But that's neither here nor there. Troy Williams, as I told you, this hour would fly by, and it seems to have. And it looks like Michael may have another caller on the line. But I will begin to at least thank you for being here and asking Michael if we still have time. Amanda, quickly, Amanda. Okay.
There is time.
Okay. 1 minute.
I'll keep it quick. As a mother of two girls and a boy that you know.
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do. I feel like it's my responsibility, and I hope, you know, I've instilled this with my children, to keep boundaries with people, i.e., you know, if they see somebody, I don't have to make them hug or shake hands or touch. Because it's expected. Oh, there's your great aunt, Lucy. Go give her a hug. Go give her a kiss if my child doesn't want to. Because it's you know, I know this is about women, but it's also about boys and men, teaching them proper boundaries.
Yes.
And making them feel safe. Because if they're encouraged to be forceful, put their own agenda on women, whether they want to or not, then they're going to grow up to think, you know, oh, well, this is what is expected of me.
Yeah.
And, of course, they're sexual beings. And
Amanda, we're cutting to the very, very end. And all the phones are lit up now, as is usually the case. Thank you very much, Michael.
Yeah.
I'll be back next month with another Thursday Night Talk on the line. Thanks to Geraldine Goldberg, our producer, Michael Rapoporte, and Troy Williams for co-hosting with me this evening. Peace and love. respect, kindness. Ciao for now.
You've been listening to Thursday Night Talk on KHSU. Thanks to our host, Sharon Fennell, and our guest, Troy Williams. We love to get feedback on our programs. Please email thursdaynighttalk@khsu.org.